This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
You, sir or madam, are listening to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 84, sponsored by GeekArmor.com and The Metrics.
Let's go show us where we're going. All they are is just the boring facts. Relax. Maps will show.
Daryl, stalking through the hot streets of New York, and you're listening to iFanboy, where Ron, Josh, and Connor pick out the what they feel is the best comics of the week. Later.
And what Daryl failed to mention is that this is a show about this week's book, so there's going to be spoilers, and so if you haven't read these week's books, pause the show, come back to it later, you'll enjoy it that much more.
I just love the subtle condemnation in that.
Yeah, he's very judgmental.
I love Daryl.
Hey, Ron's back.
Hey, yay! I'm back. Yay. So I was on the first week of my summer hiatus, I just couldn't stay away.
You missed us, didn't you?
He burned the villa down.
Although I gotta say,
the Tuscan villa.
Don't talk about it.
I'm sorry.
there's nothing available. But I gotta say, we've talked about this before. It's downright weird to listen to your podcast when you're not on it, especially considering I was like yelling at the headphones at you guys. No, you're wrong.
Yeah, there were clearly parts where Connor had said something, and I was like, and now Ron will talk. And then like nothing happened, and I was like, anyway, blah, blah, blah.
So whatever, blah, 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 I'm back. Josh, you had the pick this week?
I did. This week, I was blessed by another merciful stack, and I picked Batman Detective Comics number 833, solely because somewhere near the end of it, I got a big fat smile. I just, and again,
somewhere near the end of it or at the end of it?
It wasn't the very end. It wasn't the last page. It was right near the end.
It was the second to last page.
It wasn't. basically, you know, like, I was reading through this book, and I was like, oh, you know, it's okay. It's all right. It's funny, because the Denny stuff is slightly retro. Is that
It's written by Paul Denny. Let's just get that out of there.
It's a little
old school, but it's, you know what I'm thinking about it? It's very, very, very much the animated series.
It is, and I'm totally okay with that. Like, if you're looking for sort of a hard boiled modern comic, it's not that.
Is that Grant Morrison's though?
No, he's doing something completely different.
No, his is a 70s adventure comic.
Yeah,
it's not Frank Miller's Year One. It's not that.
Basically. It's not Greg Rucka's. It's not Drew Baker's. They're different tones.
And you know, like on the surface of that, I don't think that I like it, but I always end up enjoying it. And the fact is, over this issue, there was and again, if you haven't read it and you really like this, we're going to blow this for you. Because the fun part of it was that the reveal.
Well, why don't you give the setup to the story before you do the reveal?
That's a good point. Basically, Batman is on the trail of a magician who has figured out a lot of his assistants seem to be dying. And so he's trying to figure out what the magician's deal is, and he calls in help from Zatanna, and we are reminded that Zatanna and Batman had some issues that went on in Identity Crisis.
Which was great.
It was. I really like that harkening back to it. And then they showed a little scene of them sort of as kids, which was sort of cute and sweet, which I really liked. Normally I would – I don't know why, but I didn't.
No, it was a very well done flashback. It wasn't too cutesy, and it really added depth to the relationship.
It definitely did. And so they're going after the magician, and they're trying to figure out why he's acting like he is, because Zatanna used to be a partner with him, and he's just acting stranger. And as it goes on and on, like, the magician what's his name? Ivar?
No. Chris Angel?
Lokius.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. When someone mentioned on the site that he looked like Chris Angel, it cracked me up.
Yeah,
no, I thought of that, too. Yeah. I've actually never seen
Mind Freak!
I've seen the ads.
I love that. It's the fucking greatest. I will stop and watch that whenever I see him yell Mind Freak. It's like my dad's favorite show now. Anyway, go on.
As you're going through,
Mind Freak!
Like, the magician tends to look... Like, he just looks less and less like he did before. And they're leading you to the fact that the big reveal is that he's the Joker.
Yeah, in disguise.
Yeah, and I kind of didn't see it coming, although looking back at it, that was dumb. I totally should have. But, like, at one point, he's basically Morpheus from Sandman, and he's wearing a Watchmen t-shirt.
Right.
I mean, that's basically what he looks like. And then, like, they get to the one page where he shoots Zatanna in the neck.
That was the moment I thought you were talking about the big reveal, because I was shocking to me.
Yeah, right? Me too. That made me go, ooh.
Pulls out a gun and shoots Zatanna in the neck.
She's magic. I figure she'll fix herself. And then, like, you get Batman stuck
in...
Wait a minute. She's magic? I figure she'll fix herself?
Yeah.
Her magic is based on her talking. If she's shot in the throat, she can't talk.
That was the whole point.
Some other magician will fix it. I'm not worried about Zatanna being dead.
Out of
all the characters, Paul Dini's not going to kill her.
Yeah, that's what they said when they shot Barbara Gordon. She's not going to be, she's crippled.
Yeah.
Well, no, fine. I like that.
I'm just kidding. Go on.
And then they get him locked in a chair like the Batman TV show.
Right.
And the chair shocks him. And, you know, like, and then he pulls his mask off and he makes the face. And that's when I was like, oh, shit.
Right.
It's the Joker the whole time. And we haven't – they tease the Joker – in the issue with Robin that Dini did a little blank. I don't know, it was probably like a year ago now.
It was like the last time this was Pick of the Week, I think.
Yeah. And he showed up in that one Grant Morrison, the prose issue, but like now you feel like that stuff was leading up to this. You know, like this is like going to be their first confrontation in a while. And I was excited. I just was like, it was just fun comic book. He was trapped in the chair and you could just, you know... It was just good stuff.
No, it was good top to bottom. This was a really fun. You mentioned this in your review that Don Kramer,
not Wayne Kramer from the MC5.
Listen, it's a long week. Don Kramer, he first came on as a fill-in guy for not a fill-in guy, but replacing
J.H. Williams.
Williams, which
who I want back on this book so badly.
But Don Kramer's getting a lot better in terms of his meshing with the book and the style of the book and the script. He's doing a really good job.
Yeah, I mean,
really, really good panels in here.
He was really sort of basic but good in the beginning, and it's just getting better. And I don't know if it has to do with him and Dini are you know feeling each other out and can do more. He's feeling more confident with his page layouts and stuff. But it's solid. It's just real solid.
It's real good. It's real good.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And when I got to the Joker part, I'm like, oh, I bet this is what he's gonna pick. I'm like, this is really good. But I gotta say, in Identity Crisis, I thought this, and Zatanna hurts my head.
I love Zatanna.
No, I love Zatanna, but reading those words backwards drives me crazy.
Oh.
I don't know. I get it, but like I literally spent 5 minutes like working. Okay, close. It's like I'm trying to figure it out. I feel like
what's
a moron.
Funny is I don't know anything about Zatanna. I've never really read a lot with her. Probably just Identity Crisis. So like I thought that was the hook of the issue. Like this month's Zatanna, and I was like, whatever.
Yeah, but then
they did good by it.
The idea of a superhero who's mostly a performer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she only kind of does superhero on the side. She really just wants to be a magician, but she keeps getting pulled into this stuff, and she's sort of bemused by the whole superhero thing. I like that sort of attitude. And she's been around the Justice League forever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because that's how badass she is that she's not really into it, and she kind of, like, amused and annoyed by the whole thing, but she's that good of a magician and a hero that they keep, you know, meeting her. She's a really good character. She had a couple of miniseries, not miniseries, but one shots a couple years ago that were really good. Ryan Sook did her Seven Soldiers tie-in that Morrison wrote, and that was really, really good. Mm-hmm. I always liked her. I don't know why.
I dug the book, too. I think all around, I think we all really enjoyed
it. I think
song,
I was just surprised by it. I went in just expecting sort of the same of the same, and I just had so much fun, and I was
and
like,
gotcha.
Nothing.
Were you surprised that it was a cliffhanger and it's a two-parter?
No, I think I'd read that it actually was, but that, I wasn't even thinking of it in those terms. Like, I was just like, this is kind of a weird villain. What's the deal with that? And then I was like, oh, because, like, it's one of those things, like, they hold the Joker back long enough that when you expect it, when you see him, you want to be surprised about it. You know, you want to be like, oh, now something's really going to happen. Now, I think after this, you can't really bring the Joker back for a while. You know, use him...
Use him sparingly.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Which I think really maximizes the impact of when he does show up.
Well, sure, you know that it's trouble.
Was he in an arc near the end of Gotham Central?
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Hitting that reporter in the warehouse.
That's right, okay.
He was real good. It was a sniper episode, remember? He was snipering people. I missed that book.
Oh, well. All right. enough of this Batman love fest.
It was great. If you've not read Batman comics in a while, it's really not a bad place to go in and read a story, pick up this issue and the next one. I bet.
Or if you're a fan of the cartoon, a lot of people are that don't read the books.
Definitely.
This is a total pickup. I mean, you can know very little about Batman and just pick up this book and run with
especially
it.
Especially this issue. It's been a little uneven the last couple months, but this one has been
spot on.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. So it just reminds you how good Dini is and how good his writing is, and oh Jesus. So.
It's getting better.
Avengers Initiative number 3.
What
of it? Still on this book?
Yeah, totally.
Definitely.
I was really impressed by with JMS leaving Spider-Man soon. Mm-hmm. Amazing Spider-Man. You know, I feel as if the pulse I get is the growing question is who's going to be the writer on Amazing Spider-Man.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it could be Slott after reading.
There's a lot of talk about it being Slott.
I'd say 3 months ago. I wouldn't have given Dan Slott's books much the time of day.
Yep.
And he is really, really impressing me in this book. This is not a book, that's down and dirty, street level, or whatever, but it's like, it's a big superhero action
book.
That's
the third time you said street level.
I know. I need a better term for that.
You have a tally board?
I'm keeping track.
Ding. Tally board is for my telethon.
Oh.
When I decide I need a new TV.
Nice.
Oh, telethon.
Not the starving people.
Not to help anyone.
There's enough people helping them.
Yeah. Anyway, come on.
But, you know, you get to the parts in this book, you know, he's just got a bunch of characters juggling, and there's action, and there's an ongoing story. It's just doing all of those things that, like, when I think about when I first started reading Avengers books, you know, in the late 80s, and when I went back and read some of the earlier books and that, this is what that feels like to me. It's fun. There's lots of big things going on. He wrote Spider-Man great. This is, like, the best Spider-Man outside of New Avengers that I've read in a while.
Well, that's not saying a lot.
No, I know that,
it's been awful outside of New Avengers.
Right, but, you know...
I get your saying.
A lot of people have tried, is I guess what I mean.
So if they announce that Dan Slott's writing Amazing Spider-Man, are you on board?
I would definitely give it a shot, I think, because I we could use it, I think. It would be fun. There's a great – Connor, you didn't read this, right?
No.
Okay. There is a – basically, the plot is that this girl, Komodo, who is one of the recruits, has been put into action because they say she's better than everybody else, and they put her on a mission to go stick Spider-Man with this dart that takes away his powers.
That was previously used on She-Hulk last week, that depowered She-Hulk. Yep.
Was that in She-Hulk's book?
Yeah.
Okay, yep. I meant to ask that.
So what they are, they're like everything. Do you realize in Marvel, everything is like now nanotechnology?
Yeah.
Like nanites and stuff like that? It's got the little nanites.
It's the new gamma ray.
Yeah, totally, totally. Because they used it in X-Men, too, with the Sentinels, back with Grant Morrison's run. There were nano-Sentinels. But anyway, so it's a dart that is filled with nanites that depowers people, and they tested it on She-Hulk, and it worked, and so now they want to get Spider-Man because, you know, you got this growing vendetta against Spider-Man between Tony and you know, between Iron Man and Spider-Man, which is genius.
It's funny, during the Civil War, apparently the people who would go out and get the unregistered heroes would take down anybody the second they stuck their head out the door. But now in the post-Civil War, it seems like they have a little more freedom to run around, I guess, which is good.
Especially if you're in Daredevil.
Yeah,
exactly. But what I thought was interesting about this is that we see the appearance of the initiative-backed Scarlet Spider gold and red suit that Peter used to wear, being worn by who knows, but like like three of them.
That was the big reveal at the end. But but the fight basically between Komodo and Spider-Man is funny because basically Spider-Man never at any point is worried about it. And he starts explaining it to her and talking her ear off. And he had a good ear for the Spider-Man banter.
Yeah, Spider-Man was on the ropes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she had him, and he talked his way out of it.
I think as a wily veteran, he knows he's not going down.
Well, that's what he says. Yeah. He basically looks her in the eye and is like, "You can't beat me.
Yeah.
Who are you? This is ridiculous. You're not going to do that."
Yep.
And it's just like the thing about Ultimate Spider-Man that people like is that Spider-Man has all his shit together and. The thing about the Marvel Universe Spider-Man is that he does, and he knows it by now. So he's got that confidence, and he doesn't have to play the... And it was fun in that respect. It was like, use the character you've got, and it was good.
Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it. It was very good. So
So I dug.
And also, any time Shocker or Hydra Man or Boomerang are the villains, or all of them together, I'm there. So I was psyched. I love Boomerang. So,
I love Shocker, too. Hydra Man?
And he's not all water.
He used to be, didn't he? He used to be just like Sandman.
Sometimes, yeah.
One of my first issues ever, that's why.
Yeah.
Spider-Man.
You shoot an aerosol-based poison, or whatever
Whatever, but,
Boomerang looks ridiculous.
Boomerang's awesome. I love it. I remember reading about Boomerang in my official handbook of the Marvel Universe, and I was like, this is awesome.
Look at him in his magenta and purple suit.
Oh, it's great. It's all boomerangs.
Boomerangs sticking off all over
everywhere.
The place.
Yeah, it's just like, let's call them Boomerang.
What's absurd, too, is that reading the book, I didn't think that. Like, when reading the book, I was like, there's Boomerang. He's fighting. Like, now, looking back at it without being in the middle of the story, I'm like, that's just absurd.
Yep.
So good right, for cool. them. The last book I wanted to mention.
This is like the week of Josh.
Well, you were gone last week, so.
I know, sure.
You've got to wait until you can get back in.
Yeah.
Jack of Fables 11 this week was very nearly my pick of the week too, because it was great. And what I realized is that whereas I've got to find a way to convince people to read Irredeemable Ant-Man, where the main character is kind of a scoundrel, this main character is out and out outright a scoundrel, but he's written incredibly charming, and the book's really, really funny, and that makes you want to watch it more. Like, you actually kind of root for the jerk, which is not quite what's happening in Ant-Man's book. Basically, it's just this story.
That's the difference between charm. That's the effect of charm has.
Yeah, and he's written really charming and really funny. In the last story, he seduced the Winter Queen or something, and he takes all of her powers, and he becomes Jack Frost, which is another Jack of different fables that this guy apparently also is. And he is trying to get laid in the whole issue, but he can't get any girls to come near him because he's too cold. And everywhere he goes gets snowed over, and he can't quite figure out what to do. And eventually, at like one point in the middle, he's like, I had to figure out what to do, so I went after fat chicks. And then they turn him down. He doesn't know what to do. And it's just – he's horrible. It's just awful, and it goes on and on like that. And it's just it was a fun little two-part story. I'd say if you were thinking about reading this and you weren't sure, number 10 and number 11, if you could go and get them, would be a good fun time.
There you go.
Cool.
That's all.
Very cool.
I really like this issue a lot. This book keeps getting better and better.
Awesome.
All right, well, good for you in the Fables world and people. I know that people like the Fables, and I'm glad to hear that.
Move along. Nothing to see here.
These aren't the comics you're looking for. So with my triumphant return to the podcast, I wanted to take a couple of minutes.
I don't think you've triumphed yet.
I didn't have that big of a stack this week. I only had like six or seven books. And so starting with last weekend, actually, I felt like trying some new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw this as a window of opportunity because in the past 2 weeks, books have come out or I saw books rolling out that I thought I'd give a try to try something new. So real quick, we got a stack of books here, and I don't know if any of you guys read any of them or not. But if you did, bonus. If not, I'll tell you about them. But I want to start with a book that I posted on iFanboy.com earlier in the week about Dynamo 5 from Image Comics.
Ferber.
Issue number 4 came out. It's written by Jay Ferber and drawn by Mahmoud Asra. And real quickly, and this fourth issue came out this week, so it's been going for a couple months. I heard Augie talk about it. I read about it, and I actually held the first issue when it came out in my hands and put it back. I don't know why, but it's a spinoff of Noble Causes. In that Noble Causes universe, there's a Superman-like character named Captain Dynamo who dies. And in the first issue of Dynamo 5, we find out that the city that he protected now is being overrun with villains and that sort of thing. So his wife, in going through his personal effects, finds out that he has a little black book and turns out he's been getting a lot of action on the side over the years. And so then she searches these women and the dates in the book by births and realizes that he's got 5 illegitimate children out in the world. And so she theorizes that maybe they have his powers, and lo and behold, each kid has one of his powers. And thus they become the Dynamo 5.
It's a good concept.
Great concept. And I read the first 3 issues this past weekend. I found back issues at a store, and I fell in love with them. And issue 4 came out this week, and it's just good superhero comic book in that invincible kind of way, realm of like kind of a modern take on it.
Right.
It's nothing really new. It's a team concept. There's like an older mentor, kind of like Professor Xavier. There's, you know, family issues. I mean, like it's all those kind of things that we're kind of used to, but it's being done really well.
I tried to pick these up.
Yeah, we looked at the store, but they only had number 4.
3.
Well, I'll lend you guys the first 3 if you want to catch up.
Well, yeah, I'm interested. It sounds like a great concept, really. And you don't have to have read the book
Noble Causes.
No, not at all. It has nothing to do with Noble Causes, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
It sounds to me like it'd be fun to read in a trade. I'd love to have another kind of book like that to read in trade, so...
Yeah, so I strongly, strongly recommend it. And what's cool about it is that the kids, there's a lot of racial diversity among the 5 team members.
Because he got around.
There's a big burly football player who is a telepath. And there's a hot-looking goth chick who has super strength.
That's a really good inversion of the norm.
Yeah, of characterization, that sort of thing. That's so. Cool. So good on you, Image, for doing that, and way to go, and hopefully it sticks around, because, like, this is the kind of book, like, in 2 or 3 years, I think we would be talking about. It was, like, a great superhero book.
I see what you mean, yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, cool. So the next book I want to talk about actually came out last week, and I think we all purchased it, but it was called Drawing from Life.
Yes.
Jim Valentino,
And Jim Valentino used to be, for those who might not know about Jim Valentino, he did a lot of work at Marvel in the 80s, and he was kind of, like, the quiet... Like, not the quiet, but like the not super uber popular Image founder.
Right.
When they started Image,
it was the guy you're like, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And he worked on Guardians of the Galaxy, which I loved his run on Guardians of the Galaxy in the 80s. It was awesome.
And the other half of it is like when he went to start Image, he was in charge of Image for 10 years. And the Image that we have now, which is like this clearinghouse for diverse books of all kinds, like that came about during his reign.
Yeah. So what he's been doing since he stepped down as publisher and Eric Larson took over was he's been running his kind of Shadowline imprint, and he's done stuff like After the Cape, which I read a couple of weeks ago, stuff like that. And he used to do a couple of years ago, he did a bunch of autobiographical comics, and Drawing from Life is his latest autobiographical comic, which is like it's a series of little vignettes and basically telling his life story.
Well, not his life story, but...
Well, little moments from his life. Yeah, stories from his life.
They go from you know, stories about raising his kids to stories when he was a teenager and doing drugs and winning comics awards and just all over the place.
Yeah. It was fun. I really enjoyed it. It was nice. I mean, it was. I don't know. It's his art style in this one is a very.
It varies. You know, it's different for each story.
It's funny because it says that they're all new, but some of them look like they were from a long time ago and some don't.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. I dug this. I really liked it. A lot of the reasons because, like, here's a guy who's done every type of comic, and this is him going back to this sort of most basic, raw kind of making comics. And
personal storytelling type.
Yeah, but, you know, it's just like it's all about his own life and autobiographical stuff, and there's just something really nice about that. He's got, you know, he's been around for so long, it's interesting to see the way that he does it.
Yeah,
I love the fact that he went back to it. You know, you don't see most guys who start in the independent world and then make it in superheroes or whatever, and they hardly ever go back. I love the fact that he went back and did this type of stuff.
Yeah, we're not going to get as much as we might want it. We're not going to get any more of those Bendis autobiographical comics, probably.
Well, he claims there's another one in the works.
He's been saying that for a long time.
Yeah,
and right now it's paying too well for him to just make Spider-Man fly around.
That's true. So the one thing I want to back up is that with each of these books, I want to make the qualification of whether or not I'm going to keep on buying them or not. Mm-hmm. And so far, I'm on board for Dynamo 5. I've added it. and Drawing from Life. I think it's a miniseries, and I'll buy the
whole thing.
It doesn't
have a number.
Yeah.
So it may be a one-shot.
I think it's just a one-shot.
Oh, maybe. Oh, was it a one-shot? Oh, I thought I read somewhere it was a mini. But
he might
okay.
come
well,
out
he
with
does...
more with different names.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I'd do it.
Yeah.
I'd do that. Anyway. Okay, so the next one I want to talk about came out – the rest of them came out this week. Those are the only two that had previous weeks. But Marvel has yet again gone back to the well with the New Warriors.
I haven't – go ahead.
New Warriors number one came out this week. Creative team, I've never heard of any of them.
Wait, they're all dead.
Kevin Griveaux writing. Is he?
He's a giant black dude with a deep voice.
Yeah. He plays Klingons. And Paco Medina is a penciler. And it's basically the reestablishment of the New Warriors. Well, at this point right now, we watch a former, I believe, new X-Men recruit, and oddly enough, I don't know who she is, I gotta look it up, because they never refer to what her X-Men...
Bad news in the first issue.
Yeah, well, that might be my ignorance, her character's name is Sophia.
No, you shouldn't have to look it up in the first issue.
I know, but there are good things about it. But then she gets recruited by this cute guy who's visiting her at work, who turns out to be a depowered Beak.
The chicken guy from the Morrison X-Men?
Yeah, from the Morrison run, yeah.
Is that really his name, Beak? Barnell
Bohusk.
That's
cool. Also known as Beak.
it's like Oswald Cobblepot.
So he brings her in, and she and the big reveal at the end is that she's talking to Night Thrasher, who was the old leader of and you know, and it's just somebody in the Night Thrasher costume, so I don't know if it's actually him or not.
Well, he wasn't in Stanford, right?
He was there.
So he should be dead.
Yeah, he should be dead. But now here's the good things about it. It starts off with one of the New Warriors, a character who I forget the character's name, but somebody chasing the Grey Gargoyle. So that's good. That's a good way to start for me. I do love the Grey Gargoyle, inexplicably. and Paco Medina's art is really good.
Okay.
It's really good. Like, really good. I was just like, each page, I was like, ooh, each page was like, it wasn't, you know, like, it's, you know, it's not Jack Kirby, or, you know what I mean? Like, it's not, you know, like, give the guy an award, but, like, it was just really well done. So I'm a Marvel zombie. I'm going to keep buying it until it sucks.
What was the bad part?
The bad part was nothing.
You said
the bad part was that I didn't know who the girl was. Right. That's it.
See, because I've heard very bad things about this book.
Yeah. Reaction has been mostly really, really bad to this book.
Yeah, I'm a moron.
No. This week has been really strange in that people have either really, really loved stuff or really, really hated
stuff.
You're
not kidding me. No one can agree about anything.
The thing is, I didn't hate it. I didn't think it was awful, and it intrigued me enough to keep going. I want to see who this Night Thrasher
is. Also, you like New Warriors.
I do like New Warriors. I have a soft spot in my heart for the New Warriors.
All right, move on.
All right, so the next book is Fear Agent, number one by Dark Horse. Rick Remender has moved his creator-owned title, Fear Agent, from Image over to Dark Horse. This is the first issue. I had never read any Fear Agent before.
I have the first Fear Agent trade from Image.
Right, and if I remember correctly, you didn't like it?
That's not true.
Okay.
I didn't like it, and then I didn't like it, and then I liked it.
You dated for a little bit, and then you broke up.
Ran to each other at a party. We hooked up. Nobody called each other. And then 6 months later...
you ran into each other at Starbucks.
And then it just happened.
And then you had sex in the bathroom. Yes. And What? Anyway, so Fear Agent, real quickly, it's the story. Apparently Earth's been overrun by aliens, and we're tracking the main character. We're introduced to the main character, Heath Houston, who is an Earthling who has been... who's become an alien exterminator out in space fighting the war against these aliens. And
does he wear a big Texas belt buckle on this one?
Yes, he does. Well, because what happens is that it starts off, I think, after all the books that have come, and what this is doing is this is going back to the initial, before he's an alien exterminator, with the aliens invading Earth and telling his story of how he becomes the Fear Agent. Mm-hmm. And he wears a big Texan belt buckle and has a big drawl. I would compare this, and Tony Moore did the art.
Yeah.
And he was the original artist on Walking Dead,
yes,
right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So my comparison of this right now is like it feels like a sci-fi Walking Dead, mm-hmm. because aliens overrun the Earth, and that's what the story is kind of like. It's that whole thing, and I don't want that to be influenced by the fact that Tony Moore is doing the pencils, but that's the direction that this particular series is.
Tony Moore also does the Exterminators for Vertigo, I think.
Well, he manages his schedule very well.
Not
I don't know.
Me.
Yeah. So anyway, so Fear Agent, I'm going to borrow your trades, Connor, because yep. I liked it. I really liked the concept. Tony Moore's art was great. I'm on board.
No, it was good.
It's funny because we were in the store, and I said to Connor, I was like, you know, if I have to read this to buy the new, because I almost bought it, and then I decided not to. So.
Ah, you lose. It was good. Okay, two more books to get through. One, Black Summer Number Zero from Avatar. This is a kind of like a teaser issue. It was only 99 cents. It's a shorter story. It's not – I don't even know how many pages it is. It might be like 12 pages or 16 pages. Written by Warren Ellis. Drawn by Juan Jose Rip. Did either of you guys pick this up?
No.
Or?
No.
Okay. What this is – this is really interesting. It appears to be similarly, you know, Civil War-esque type world with superheroes and a lot of interaction with the government and the government not liking it. And like talk of registration and stuff like that. And then it starts with one of the heroes is an ex-hero, and he's flashing back to before when they started to become – when they got their powers before they became heroes. And he lost his leg, and he's drunk, and he's, you know, lamenting his decision to become a superhero. While he's doing this, he watches on TV as his friend, another superhero, walks into the White House press briefing room covered in blood and announces that he's just killed the president, the vice president, and all the leaders of the country because the war and everything that they've been – and they stole the election, and basically it was an illegal action – and the country's been being run illegally, and he said, this isn't a coup. I don't want to take over. I'm just resetting the scales.
Well, then.
Yeah, yikes. It was brutal.
Yikes.
And it was
I'm
great.
On a watch list.
I know, exactly. Warren Ellis might not be coming back to America. But
come see him for the last chance in
San Diego.
The art was really good. It reminded me of somebody, and I can't remember who it is. I want to say maybe Jose Ladron, but I don't think that's right.
That's a tall mountain to scale.
Yeah, but the art was good. It's engaged me, and if my store keeps on picking up the book, I'm gonna pick up issue one to see what it looks like. And it comes out I think in August. So it's a seven issue monthly series in August. So for 99 cents, it can't hurt. So
right.
Sold. Last one. $1.99, Invincible number 42.
Yes.
I've switched to single issues now.
You're kidding me.
I'm off the trades.
Why?
Because this was the catch-up issue, and it was genius in that it was a unique story that catches anybody up and fills in the gaps. I think there's only one trade in between this and one I'm missing, so I'll get that trade, but I'm going to do issues from here on out.
Boo.
Fuck y'all. Did you hear the stunned silence from both of us?
I'm stunned.
I'm back to my roots, baby. This book is so good, I think I should be doing it monthly. So,
it's so much fun to read the trades, though.
I think it would be fun to read the issues. But what's genius about it is that it's a unique story that pretty much brings anybody up to speed. So if you've never read Invincible and you don't want to invest in all the trades, pick up this issue. It's issue number 42. It's $1.99. And not only does it have a story that brings you up to speed, but then there's also a written prose of the story so far explaining the entire series if you want to read that, if you want to go in that deeply. And then at the end of that, there's a full page that says, what do I do next? And it says you can do the monthly issues, you can do the trade paperbacks, or you can do the hardcovers. And, like, talk about not only is Invincible such quality in terms of comics, but talk about, like, a way to embrace the 21st century approach to reading comics. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's like now that you're up to speed, you can do any of these three. Like, it's genius marketing.
I'm going to have to drop a book and go to trades to reset the balance of this whole thing.
I agree.
I feel betrayed.
And that was my exploratory
betrayed.
Week. My week of exploring
you,
where I lost
Orlando.
I got to say that you really have gone against the grain of anybody who would say that you were, say, negative about books.
Yeah, no,
because you were quite positive on many, many books.
None of these books, all these books I tried, I'm going to keep doing. I'm going to keep going.
Well.
So we'll see. I'll keep you posted throughout the rest of my life how that goes.
So check back in 2011.
Yeah, when I'm on Invincible number 712.
Wow, he's really putting
fucking
it out there.
Monthly issues, baby. Let's bring it back to the 80s.
Hey,
okay. Oh god.
All right. So
I'm dropping something. I'll figure it out.
Yeah,
I'll let you know next
so,
week.
Oh, and
I'm
finally,
drop something.
Uncanny X-Men came out, and Black Panther was not to be found. Yeah,
it must have booted him between issues.
So, yeah, it was a fun week for me. So.
All right.
Huh.
I'm stunned. You go on. You take the show over.
So when Connor calms down, he's going to kick back and he's going to watch a movie that he rented from Netflix.
I'm going to do that right now.
Netflix, they have 75,000 titles, no late fees, free shipping. They're the internet-based DVD rental service. If you sign up now, they have plans starting as low as $4.99. You get a free two-week trial. So go to www.netflix.com/ifanboy for the Netflix that we love.
Here's my quick Netflix update. The movie Backbeat is not good.
It doesn't hold up? It didn't hold up?
It's not good. It's quite bad. Why is 16-year-old George Harrison look 35? I don't know.
But doesn't the guy playing Paul look like him?
Yeah, we laughed and laughed at that guy. Yeah. It's funny because I was like, he's got a really long neck for some reason, but his eyebrows are ridiculous. And then I pulled out my Beatles anthology book and I looked at it, and it's exactly what he looked like. Yeah. He even had like this freakish long neck. Anyway.
Did you hear my favorite line?
I forget what it was. Something.
So she sought some je ne sais fucking quoi.
All right.
Anyway. All right. So listener email.
Yeah, we're talking about the UK, so let's go to a letter from the UK.
All right. What is it?
Joe from Buckinghamshire. He says, you were talking about sexism holding back the comic book industry. Personally, I think it's the depth and complexity of the comic book world that scares normal people away. Just the other day, I was talking to my mate about comics. He's interested in Marvel ethos. He watches the movies, plays the games, etc. I was trying to persuade him to pick up a comic, so I decided to tell him about Civil War. I explained the most of the key components, superhero reality show gets out of hand, people have to sign up, blah, 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 blah. He was with me, understood what I was saying, but then I told him that Tony Stark made a robotic version of Thor because Thor died while destroying all the Asgardians to prevent Ragnarok, so despite those who sit above. And he just stared at me as if I was fucking mental. That's what I think is holding back the industry. The plots are so deep and hard to understand from an outsider's perspective. Also, I think the fact that comics are directly associated with being geeky and nerdy and losery.
Well, Joe, you should tell your friend to pick up Invincible number 42 for $1.99. He can get caught up and not have anything to do with Thor.
You know what, though? I don't know all that stuff about Civil War, and I don't think you need that stuff. If you're on the other side of it, tell them, well, you got to know this and this and this and this. Maybe.
Well, the thing is that if you're telling somebody who doesn't read the books and you're like, yeah, and then they made a robotic Thor, they're like, well, why didn't they make a robotic Thor? Yeah. Like that. You see, the thing is that it you can get led down rat holes.
Sure.
I think the mistake is explaining it rather than just handing it to them.
Yeah, exactly.
It's funny because a lot of the stuff that you think that you as a comic reader who knows stuff needs explanation.
They don't need it.
No, they won't know the damn difference.
I don't know shit about Ragnarok and what Thor did and why he died or what happened. That wasn't necessary to understanding Civil War.
But that wasn't why I didn't like Civil War.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, good point.
I think maybe the first mistake was going to the Civil War. Maybe start with something less stupid.
Jesus. Like 52.
Yeah, 52 was awesome.
Speaking of 52, Dustin writes in. And he says, hey, iFanboys. He says the podcast is still brilliant. He likes the video podcast. And he really enjoyed watching us riff about 52. And it was a lot of fun. So since it's only a matter of time before Marvel launches their own weekly series, no way that comes out regularly, which third-tier Marvel characters would we put in a book to follow for a year? And remember, Ron, Nova has his own series now, so he's off limits. Son of a bitch.
This is right in your wheelhouse here.
Yeah. That's a really good question. That's a really good question. Fucking A, man.
Greg Gargoyle?
Greg Gargoyle would be awesome. I would know what I would like. I would like a weekly series for Marvel about third tier villains like Boomerang. No, seriously, I think that would be really interesting.
It's funny because Marvel will come out with series about their third tier superheroes all the time, and those series fail a lot.
Yep, the losers,
the slingers,
Marvel team up.
You know, for some reason, third tier Marvel characters don't play in the same way that DC ones do.
Right.
Like, I don't know why that is, but the thing is, in 52, they came out and they're like, we're doing a story about Booster Gold and The Question and Black Adam, and we bought into it.
Yep.
You know, and Marvel would have to work really hard to be able to do that, and I don't know why.
There's that, but the strength of the writing was the other reason that 52 worked.
Definitely.
They have been four schmoes doing that book that wouldn't be sold.
Well,
I would like a weekly about the Morlocks. I think that would be interesting.
Is there anybody that you haven't seen Ron? Anybody?
I just pictured like a documentary comic about the Morlocks. Now she goes down to the wolves to fetch.
That's a really good question. What third tier characters would I like? The Great Lakes Avengers. I think they would be prime for if they did.
Oh, but the initiative is kind of
like that. Yeah, but it's not weekly. Yeah.
So I mean, in that sense, they're doing it. They're doing it pretty well.
I don't. But the thing is that I disagree with Dustin. I don't think Marvel's going to do a weekly book.
No, I think that would be too
It would look. Yeah. It would look like two.
Two copies.
It's also kind of like it's like it's not their thing.
Yeah, I think they should bring back Marvel Comics Presents and make it a bi-weekly like they used to.
I would love that, so. And just also because it was such a good
short stories, you know, anthology.
There's no way if you're like a person who wants to get into Marvel. You know, like a writer, like a creator, like there's no short story or no way that you...
That used to be the way to do it, yeah.
And that doesn't exist anymore.
All right.
Nick from Rochester, New York writes and says, I'd like to comment on your reviews of several of the most recent comic book movies. I think a lot of people are trying to get something out of these movies that's just not there. When I hear people complain about the story and dialogue of Spider-Man 3 or Fantastic Four, it makes me want to ask, did you really go into this expecting something as good as the comics? There is absolutely no chance that a Fantastic Four movie could ever match up to Lee Kirby or John Byrne or Roy Thomas's FF stories. Likewise, if you go into a Spider-Man movie expecting something that's even in the same ballpark as Bendis' Ultimate Spider-Man or David Michelinie's or Todd McFarlane's, then of course you'll be disappointed. The same goes for the X-Men, obviously. No superhero movie will ever come close to touching the quality of superhero comics. We should just accept this and take from what we can get from the movies. When I went to see the first Spider-Man movie, I wasn't expecting to see a brilliant retelling of the Spider-Man origin. I've seen it 1,000 times. What I really wanted was to finally get to see, in the most realistic way that I ever will, what it looks like when Spidey swings through downtown or has a mid-air fight with the Green Goblin. And boy, did I leave that movie satisfied.
Oh boy, this is like a big old softball right in Connor's wheelhouse.
It all has to do with the expectations that I think you guys, along with tons of other fanboys, have the wrong set of expectations. No comic book movie will ever be written as well as comics, with the exception of any movie that Michael Chabon may write.
He's never written a movie.
That's a lie.
Michael Chabon?
He wrote Spider-Man.
He was one of the He was one of the script doctors on it.
Last I checked, that's called writing.
I guess, but it's not like there's been like a original screenplay by Michael Chabon.
Right. No, it's not like Cavalier and Clay the movie.
Right. Although Wonder Boys was excellent, although he didn't write that.
Yeah, I think he did. I think he did write that
he
too.
Write the screenplay.
IMDb.
All right. As long I've hit this one on the nail enough. You guys take this one.
No, I think he's right, and I think you're right. Is that
he's
in that
so wrong?
No. What I think is that it's completely inappropriate to think you're going to get the same experience from reading a comic as the movie about the comic. It's never going to be the same. He's right. I agree with Connor that you should still expect a level of quality from the movies. Just because it's a comic book movie doesn't mean that it can be shit.
I agree.
There's the expectation that just because he wants to go in. He wants to see Spider-Man swinging around and fighting Green Goblin. If he sees that, he's going to be satisfied. That's a unique to comic book fans. It's the same. It's the fastball special syndrome.
Yep.
Yes, but I think that he does make a valid point in saying that if you think that you're going to get like you can't get the same experience from a 2-hour movie that you can from 5 years.
That's not what he's saying. He said the quality is not going to be the same as the comics. The dialogue and the story are not going to be as good. He's not talking about getting the full 30 years feeling from Spider-Man that you get from reading the books. He's talking about that not being as good. You know what? You take the script from a comic book, you put it on screen, it's going to get laughed out of the theater.
Yeah.
Comic book scripts work within the comic book pages. They don't work anywhere else.
Right. I think that we can expect quality from the movies, but it's not going to be page to page. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
It's never going to be a direct translation. And I don't. Right. None of us ever expect that.
No, we expect a good movie that's well written.
I just want a good movie. Yeah.
I expect a good movie anytime. I expect something that doesn't insult my intelligence and is fun.
Right. Well, that's any movie we go see, and there's no reason why you separate a comic book movie out from any other movie. When I go to see a regular movie, I want to see a good movie. When I go see a comic movie, I want to see a good movie.
Yeah, the story has to be good, and stuff has to be believable, and there you go.
All right. Cool. So, and it's okay for the rant. We like rants.
Yeah.
So. Anyway, the show is also brought to you by GeekArmor.com, and GeekArmor they're a great place to go for the t-shirts. So if you like the comic book t-shirts and the video game sci-fi movie t-shirts, or the Arkham Asylum athletics shirt.
Yeah. I saw that one. I was like, ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can go to GeekArmor.com.
There's a football team you don't want to be on. There's a locker room. There's a locker room you don't want to be in after the game. Because you think the whip and towel was bad in high school.
There's a whole other scenario
the Arkham
now.
Asylum, after the game in there, it's like a madhouse. Sorry.
Oh, where's the rim shot button when you need it?
Oh, God. All right, so let's move on to the voicemail. By the way, if you have an email, you have a question, you want to email us, you can email us at contact@ifanboy.com. So our first voicemail wants to be amused.
Hey, iFanboy. This is Adam DeMars from Polk City, Iowa. New listener and new reader of comics. I was just wondering if you had any suggestions for funny books like The Last Christmas or The Goon. Thanks for listening to my question.
Well, Adam, it's funny you should bring that up. We did not solicit this.
What timing? Seriously.
I know, it's wacky.
Yes, we have several suggestions for you. If you go to episode 21 that came out this past Wednesday
of
our video show, that is at ifanboy.com or revision3.com/ifanboy, we went over all the funny books that we could fit in a show, and there's lots that we didn't. And if you look in the threads that come after that, people have even more suggestions.
Yeah.
That was a real good show. I had fun with that one.
And a book that we didn't talk about on the show, because I didn't read it because it didn't come out until after we shot the show, and it was talked about on the thread, similar to The Goon, I got a copy of Satan's Sodomy Baby. Fucking hysterical. Like, I've never read The Goon, but I think I'm going to totally pick up The Goon.
I've got a Goon trade here I haven't read yet still from San Francisco way back then.
Satan's Sodomy Baby, I can't even talk about it on the podcast. That's how vulgar it is, but it's hysterical. So, good times. So, check that one out, Adam.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. Our next voicemail has got a question that we got asked a lot this week, actually.
Hey, guys. This is Ryan, driving cross country. I'm in Nevada now, for all that's worth. I was wondering if y'all had any comic book novels that y'all really liked, be it novelization or something just based on the comic book characters. I know my wife and I both really enjoy Greg Rucka's No Man's Land. Neither of us have actually read the comics for No Man's Land, but I really liked that story. I've read some other ones. I read, you know, The Death of Superman when it first came out, and I remember really liking it when I was pretty young then. I don't know if that stands the test of time of being a really good book. But is it pretty much a lost cause, comic book novels? I've not read any of the DC books written by Greg Cox right now, the Infinite Crisis, and I think he's doing a 52 comic, or 52 novel, which I have no idea how they're going to do that. Anyway, I know there's some other ones out there that aren't even based on, you know, comic books, but they're still comic book novels, kind of. You know, like Wild Cards and this mother I haven't read. I was wondering if you had any you could recommend, because I would really love that. Thanks, guys. Bye.
That's funny he should mention that, because I actually have read quite a few, and I haven't read any of those new ones.
But it's also funny because we got, like, a bunch of other emails and voicemails asking the same question almost, essentially.
It's
so
weird, don't you think?
Yeah, it's very weird. For some reason, people want to read. Who knew?
There are some good ones. He mentioned Rucka's No Man's Land, which is an excellent novelization. If you like Batman or Greg Rucka, or Batman's Greg Rucka, or anything.
Which makes sense, because Rucka is a novelist before he was a comic book writer.
I've heard good things about Elliot Magan's Kingdom Come.
That's a really good one. I have that one. That's a really, really good one. He expounds on a lot of stuff that they don't get to touch on. A lot of the minor characters get some more meat to them. Yeah. I really enjoyed that one.
The only one the only thing I've come close to reading is I read one of the Queen and Country novels. I haven't read the second one.
Yeah, I read both of those. Those are really good too. If you like Queen and Country,
those are fantastic, and they actually
Those are dark.
Yeah.
Rucka again.
I was like, oh my god, I can't believe he did that. But those play into the storyline. Like, in order to get the whole story, you have to read them between certain issues if they ever come out again.
They won't.
I wish I could comment on some of the Marvel ones, but I've never read any of them. So, but I imagine anything written by Peter David will be good.
There's also a Crisis on Infinite Earths novel that Marv Wolfman wrote.
Ooh.
That came out last year or the year before. It's actually shockingly short. It's like 225 pages. Shorter than the regular and it doesn't actually encompass the whole story. It focuses very narrowly on one aspect of it, and it's very, very good.
Why do I feel like Roger Stern's written a lot of these?
He wrote Death Superman.
Death Superman.
Okay. Yeah.
I had that book for a long time, but I never read it, and I eventually sold it at a yard sale.
I was
annoyed. A little unknown trivia about iFanboy is that we are big Roger Stern fans, so... anything he's written, you know, it's got the iFanboy seal of approval. So.
Somebody hit him. He's talking out of school.
All right, cool. So our next voicemail proves that it probably gets pretty boring when you're driving cross country.
Hi, my name's Heather. I'm traveling cross country with my husband, Ryan. We're still in Nevada. I had a question for you. I really enjoyed Gotham Central and was really sad to see that go. And I was trying to find out if y'all had any recommendations for any other cop books. I really liked the Sam and Twitch, Bendis' run on that, and I also enjoyed the beginning of Bendis' Powers. And I was just hoping to see if you had any other recommendations out there for a really good cop book. Thank you.
That's a good woman.
Well, first off, it's safe to say that apparently Ryan and Heather are driving cross country and call us a lot.
Where are they going?
Because these weren't the only voicemails we got from them either. So.
Yeah, we got a few. We got some updates.
Hey, you want to stop for lunch? I don't know. Let's call iFanboy first. Oh, good idea.
Exactly. I don't know which direction they were going in.
I'd like to know why they were driving across country.
Ryan and Heather, call back or email us and let us know what you guys are up to.
Send us some pictures from the road.
Are you on the run from the police?
are you in a cross country illegal race?
Gumball rally?
Are you transporting illegal beer?
So good cop books.
I got a few.
All right,
Connor. I didn't have a one.
I got a few.
Yes. Yeah, ooh. Totally.
Fell is the default one. It's the one that's currently going on right now.
Felp by Warren Ellis and Ben Templesmith, published by Image Comics.
Trade just came out.
The hardcover, yeah, the hardcover is beautiful. I almost bought it because I spend money like I pee.
It's true. Every time he goes to buy something, he unzips his pants, which really throws off shop owners.
Keep your wallet in there, Ron.
my local comic store is used to it. So anyway,
and then he washes his hands after every transaction.
Another good one. Yeah, another good cop book is Kane.
Wow! Good call. Big fan of Kane by Paul Grist. Image Comics publishes it.
That's not a current book. That's an old.
Yeah, it's an old one. Kane is fun. Kane is good.
A one-shot OGN is Torso.
Yep.
That's a good. That's a Bendis's pre-superhero days. It's about murder. It's a true life crime story.
Historic cop book. Yep.
Yep. And then another one, which is not in print as far as I could find currently. It was a miniseries called Gordon of Gotham.
Oh. Ooh.
Which was nice. Awesome.
That's a good one. It's written by Denny O'Neill.
Yeah.
That was one of the first series that I started buying. It's funny because I came in like issue 3.
Yeah, it was Jim Gordon-based miniseries. It was excellent. So
good stuff.
There are cop books out there, and those are a few.
Actually, if you read, in that same vein, if you read Batman Year One, Gordon side of that is fantastic.
Yeah, that's actually really good. Cop stuff in it.
I haven't read it, but I've heard the new Stormwatch series is kind of procedurally copied.
I'm quite interested in that, thanks to our good friends at Around Comics.
Yeah, yeah. So that's Stormwatch PhD, written by Christos Gage, published by Wildstorm DC. So. Yeah. Cool. So if you are driving cross-country or on a long road trip, you can call us and let us know if you're running out of gas yet at 1-888-FANBOYS. That's 1-888-326-2697.
But don't call us if you break down, because we're not going to get that for like 3 days.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right.
And honestly, it's a bit of a hassle.
I'm in Nevada. I've got a flat.
Call AAA, not iFanboy.
We're in New York. We can't help you.
Well, I'm just glad they didn't call 1-800-FANBOYS.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Maybe they did.
Okay, so I think that wraps it up for this week.
It's weird.
So be sure to head over to iFanboy.com to check out all the great discussion and stuff like that that's going on, where we talk about comics and the world of comics and fun stuff, and let people know what you read this week, what you liked, what you didn't like, all that good stuff.
Yeah, if you're a writer or an artist and you're looking for a writer or an artist, we've got a thread up in the iFanboy forums, which are linked at iFanboy.com, or that they're the Vision 3 forums. And that's right there at the top. It's sticky, and it's a place for artists and writers to meet and congregate, and things are already happening. Things people are making, making comics.
And lest you think there's a shortage, there are artists out there for you.
Yeah, we've had a bunch of new artists in the last week.
And that's awesome.
Right now it's people just collaborating on, don't go in there with your 128-page graphic novel right away. Maybe three to five-page short story to start with. Something like that. But it's a really good way to meet people and if you're into that.
Yep.
Cool.
If you want to send us an email, you can send us an email at contact@ifanboy.com. You can leave us a voicemail at 1-888-FANBOYS, which is 326-2697. You can call us with any questions or comments or rants or problems or criticisms or whatever.
Or if you need directions on a road trip.
As we already alluded, every Wednesday at 3 p.m. or so Eastern Standard Time, you'll see a new episode of the iFanboy video show, which is a little different than this show in that we pick some topic, or we go to something, or we talk to some person, or we do something.
on video, vaguely pertaining to comic books. Would you, you know, that's a horrible pitch.
It was awful. If you like comic books and you want to watch a TV show about comic books, watch iFanboy.
Ooh.
Done. Go to iFanboy.com every Wednesday or go to revision3.com/iFanboy, our lovely partners.
And this week, it's all about the end of a very beloved series.
Yes.
So check that out.
Cool. So as we've been talking about the past couple of weeks, next week we're going to be in Charlotte, North Carolina for Heroes Con, finally. iFanboy's triumphant appearance at Heroes Con that was begged and pleaded by the good folks in the South who wanted us to go to it last year, so we're going into it this year. And we're really excited to announce that we have a special treat. For the first time in iFanboy history, we are going to be recording this podcast, the Pick of the Week podcast, live in front of an audience.
Hopefully.
If anyone shows up. So here's the deal. Here are the details.
How many people does it take to call it an audience?
Well, we know we got one.
Like, does the maid count?
So if you're going to Heroes Con on Friday night, June 15th, after the con shuts down like around 6:37, walk right across the street from the convention center to the Westin Charlotte, the Westin Hotel. Okay, we're going to be on the second floor in the room is called Trade.
That's funny.
How appropriate.
It's not rough trade. It's just trade. But it's one of the meeting rooms. It's called Trade.
Because you don't want to be in the rough trade room.
Exactly. So, and the doors are going to open at 8 p.m. And at 8:30, we're going to start the show completely free. Show up. We would love to have, you know, anybody who listens to the podcast who likes it want to watch us do it, you know, kind of that sort of thing. We're kind of excited and curious to see what happens. We hope you all come out. So,
we've never done it with an audience. This could be bad.
Or it could be great. So,
do you remember how badly it went the first time we were all in the same room?
Yes.
Stop looking at me.
So come to Heroes Con June 15th, 8 p.m. The Westin Charlotte. We'll have signs up at the Westin so you can find us.
Yeah, that'll be fun. It'll be a lot of fun.
The more the merrier. And then we're gonna hang out afterwards, and we'll hang out in the bar downstairs, and it's gonna be a good time. And it's gonna the podcast recording will then merge into the iFanboy kind of meetup type thing.
Yes.
So, Ooh. So good times. So
maybe right, you can get a sticker.
Yeah, maybe. If we can find them.
Is Jim Lee going to be there?
No. Anyway. So Heroes Con, June 15th, 8 p.m., the Westin Charlotte.
Oh.
Be there or be square.
And if you want to know where people are at who might be there, you can go to the Frapper map, which is frappr.com/iFanboy. Put your little pin in the map there and let us know where you are. It's always fascinating to look at and see all the people and where you are. Thank you.
Be our friend at myspace.com/iFanboy or comicspace.com/iFanboy or facebook.com where you have to search for us or verb.com/iFanboy, which is VIRB.com.
And if you dig the show, head over to iTunes or Podcast Alley or any of the other sites that handle podcasts and you can vote for us or leave a review or do whatever you can do on that site and tell everybody about it. Go to dig.com in the podcasting section. Tell people about the show, please. Spread the word.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you do that? And furthermore, why wouldn't you give us money? No. If you like the show and you think, hey, these guys, they do something really good and we really enjoy it, one way that you can help support the show is to go to ifanboy.com/donations and click on the box there. And if you want to float us some cash, we'd appreciate that.
A fine example of the iFanboy faithful's money going towards our first live show next week in Charlotte. Yeah. That ain't cheap, folks. And so we have to thank you for it because without you, we wouldn't be able to pull it off. So we really appreciate it.
Yes.
So fantastic.
Excellent.
All right.
Super.
Well, good job. Good show. Good week. Yay.
Tremendous.
Yay, comics. So... Comics.
You're really
I'm excited
up on
for
comics right now, aren't you?
I'm pro comics. I'm thumbs up on comics. I was in last week. I was in San Francisco. I went to a party at the Isotope, and it was just comics.
Is it
great.
Ever? Is it ever not a party at the Isotope Comics Lounge?
No, it really never is.
That's what show us where we're going. Climbing lines and abstract drawing tracks.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also like, one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.